You're listening to Paranormal Portal on Revolver Podcasts. Everybody, welcome to the Paranormal Portal Podcast. I'm your host, Brent Thomas. Hope you're having a great night, and thank you so much for tuning in. We are always bringing you the freshest and bestest paranormal shows we know how to bring you three times a week. And, you know, you can quote me. But I'm not alone. I got my good friend and co-host here, Mr. Don Longbeard.
You know, the bestest.
The bestest long-bearded co-host I've ever seen. I just want to go on the record and say that. You can quote me again.
Wow.
all right. So, ladies and gentlemen, tonight we're going to be talking about some spiritual stuff, some ghostly stuff. And tonight, well, the focus is going to be on haunted hospitals. Oddly enough, Don.
Yes.
Dan messaged me after our YouTube show last night. Ladies and gentlemen, we did a show last night on our YouTube channel regarding an investigation that Dan and I did in Coloma Ghost Town in Montana. And if you're interested in checking it out, we actually streamed a lot of it live. And we've asked people to watch the video and stream segments of that investigation and try to help us out with EVPs and stuff that are on the recordings and other things that we might have missed. So if you get a chance, ladies and gentlemen, please head over to youtube.com/paranormalportal and check out our Coloma Ghost Town investigations. But Dan contacted me. He was our guest last night, as you know, and he said we got to check out, and let me look this up. I want to make sure I got the name right. He said the hospital in Colfax.
Hospital in Colfax, Washington?
St. Ignatius is the one he said we should check out. And so we're going to be looking into that.
I typed in Colfax, and Colfax Haunted Hospital came right up.
Boom, there it is. So
St. Ignatius, yeah.
Yep, we're going to look at putting together an investigation over there, ladies and gentlemen. So we will keep you all posted as that develops as well. But on the portal, we do the podcast, we do the YouTube shows, but we also kind of branched out into doing live investigations and with some recorded segments as well. But it's really enhanced what we offer, and we try to bring you, the audience, into the investigations as well. The Coloma Ghost Town was their first outing, and it was absolutely a rousing success. So we're going to keep doing this, and we hope you'll take part in these as they happen. So make sure that you are subscribed to our YouTube channel. Again, youtube.com/paranormalportal. But tonight we're going to talk about some haunted hospitals, Don. And as you may or may not know, I think you do know, because you've been doing the show with me for a long time, that hospitals are generally one of those hot spots for paranormal activity that seem to come often into the awareness of the paranormal community.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Because think of all the energy that's been, you know, expended there, you know, that's expired there, you know, that's walked through those halls and the trauma and, yeah, you know, all of that, you know, and not to mention, you know, the joy too of like, you know, the maternity ward, you know, or things like that, you know, the, right, You know, so yeah, there's all kinds of energy through there, I'd imagine.
Right. It almost by virtue of what it is almost a portal in essence anyway, because life is coming in and going out through that very building. So that coupled with the pain and suffering that so many people experience in hospitals leaves a psychic imprint. And there is a wide belief that there's a lot of entities that feed on that kind of stuff and on dark emotion and sadness all of those things couple kind of make really the perfect storm for paranormal stuff to be very prevalent and present. And of course, if you watch any of the ghost shows on TV, one of the most common settings that they investigate is old hospitals. I mean, that always comes up on every show, old hospitals. So we're going to look into doing that ourselves, but we thought we would take some time tonight and share some encounters people have had in these hospitals. And not all of them are decommissioned. There seems to be a lot of activity in active hospitals as well. So what do you think of that, Don? Sound good?
Yeah, let's dig into that.
Let's just whip up a plate full of fun here. All right. So the first one I'm going to read you is this is told by a nurse. Said, I was a new nurse at our hospital and only begun working there a couple of months. And I brought a patient of mine up to day surgery from the ER for an endoscopy. Endoscopy? How would you say that? Endoscopy or endoscopy?
I don't know. I go with endoscopy.
Endoscopy. That's the one we're going with. Ladies and gentlemen, survey says endoscopy.
Ding, ding, ding.
And they called back down and asked me to bring her family up because she only spoke Italian and not enough English. So, and they needed someone to consent for the procedure. After dropping them off, I walked past the waiting room to head back down in the hall to the elevators, and I took the back way to get to the ER, and the hallways are all deserted. It used to be a pediatric wing of the hospital, but that is all shut down for years, and the rooms are just empty and full of broken equipment and beds and stuff. So as I reached the old nurse's station at the T-junction, between the pediatric hallway and the hallway that goes down the elevators, I saw a little girl standing across from the nurse's station further down the hall. She had big pigtails and was wearing a brown dress, white shoes, and holding a teddy bear. I thought perhaps she was a family member who had walked away from the day surgery waiting room. Well, I was concerned that she would go into one of the rooms and get hurt or lost, so I said, "Hey, little girl, what are you doing? You don't need to be over there. You're going to get hurt." And I walked around the nursing station to go grab her hand and bring her back. And I kid you not, she vanished as I got about 15 feet away from her. Every hair on my body stood up straight, and I turned and ran like a bat out of hell down to the elevator. I pounded that button for what seemed like an eternity until the elevator got to the floor. And as I got back to the ER, I walked up to the nurse's desk, white as a sheet, and one of my older nurses looked at me and said, "Oh my God, what's wrong with you?" And I remember babbling like an idiot as I tried to tell them what had happened. After listening to me for a moment or two, the nurse said, "Oh, you saw the little girl ghost. She's been around here for years." And I remember saying, "Well, thanks for telling me about that before this." Apparently the ghost has even been seen down in the ER, ducking in and out of patient rooms and peeking around curtains. My wife worked up on the seventh floor, and she said that one time on nights, a whole row of patient rooms started yelling about the little girl that was running around in their rooms.
Mm.
Well, I guess she gets around. Now, there we go again with the little kid spirits, and I'm not sure, ladies and gentlemen, what to think about that, but apparently there are little kid spirits.
Right.
So, on the podcast, I guess I haven't talked a whole bunch about it, but I just think that it's hard to get my head around the idea that these little gentle spirits, if they are indeed little girls, are just left to be wandering, that there wasn't something that brought them home. But yeah, what a creepy experience, huh, Don?
Yeah, it's kind of fun to think, though, that it's a little girl just running around. I mean, and as you have said, you don't feel that that child spirits would be left behind for this kind of thing. But, I think there's got to be at least some out there that are that are not nefarious and, just trying to lure you in. you know, it's finding out in that way, you know, they forgot to tell you, oh yeah, ha ha ha, you know, there's a little girl ghost running around here. Yeah, that's always kind of an interesting way to find out.
Yeah. Well, you know, it seems like everywhere you work, they've got like a rite of passage, you know. I used to work at a cabinet factory years and years and years and years ago. And I worked on the wall unit, and they'd send these cabinets down the way. And every once in a while, everybody that was new, we would grab the wrong doors and hold them up, and they wouldn't be the right size for the cabinet that was rolling down the way. And of course, we would send the new guy around the plant to find the frame stretcher. And they every department they would go to would keep them running, and they'd be running for about a half hour and then just come back pissed. But it was like a rite of passage, you know. It was like one of those things. So maybe the little girl ghost is kind of a rite of passage at that hospital. Like, oh, you finally saw it. Okay, you're in now.
You're part of the crew. Come on.
Yeah, exactly. Let's
have a cigarette and have more paranormal experiences.
Yeah, that does seem to go hand in hand, doesn't it? People having cigarettes and experiencing ghosts. That always happens. I went outside to have a cigarette, and I was sitting there smoking with this friend of mine, and I came in and found out he died yesterday. It's like, oh my God. Comes up a lot, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know why. Something about smoking. All right. So, got another one here. You want to hear about this one, Don?
Sure. What does this one say?
Well, let me tell you, Don. It says a whole bunch of stuff, but I'll start reading now. I work in an intensive care, a small community hospital, and we have a 9-bed unit that is completely closed off from the medical floor via 2 doorways. 2 nights ago, we were all sitting around at the station charting, and we all heard footsteps coming down the hall. It's a completely open unit where you can see every room from everywhere. No one was in the unit with us. CT is below us, and they close at 5 unless an emergency comes in. And we only have people on the 2nd floor. The 3rd is used as storage, so no one was above us. It happened 2 or 3 times. Then last night, cupboard doors kept opening and shutting in 2 empty rooms, and I finally asked my coworker what the hell was going on, and she just told me that it usually happens after someone passes, especially if it was sudden. We had 2 codes last week, and we lost, and I guess everyone has had weird stuff happening for a couple of days. Wow, so when somebody passes, it really ramps up the paranormal activity.
You know, that kind of does figure, because if we go back to if hospitals are portals, mm-hmm. You know, are they always open, or do they only open at a passing or a birth, you know? So Maybe that passing is like, you know, just a brief portal that opens for that one soul, say, mm-hmm. spirit, whatever. And then when that portal opens, they, you know, it disturbs the things around in that area.
Right.
Where the portal actually opens. So, I don't know.
Or what about, now that's an interesting thought, and I think you're definitely onto something, but what about this possibility that there is maybe, you know, there's a certain amount of charge that we all carry. And, mm-hmm. of course, our bodies have a biological charge as well. I think we have a biological and spiritual charge. And when our spirit transitions, maybe whatever is stuck there can grab the rest of that energy from whoever just passed and can be active for a few days following that, you know?
Like a quickening.
Yeah, exactly. There could be only one, and it's me. It can only be one. You know what I mean, though? It's like that energy ramps up right after that for a period of time, and then we'll flatline again. So is there something energetically that's happening as those spirits are transitioning that feeds the paranormal energy of the place for a period of time? Very interesting thought anyway, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's what we do, Don. We just talk about stuff and we think. Yep. It doesn't always make sense. Doesn't always make sense what we think about, but we are thinking. All right, let's get to the next one. And this one says, now this one's pretty short, so it's not going to be a real big story. It says, this isn't my story, but it's a fellow nurse of mine. We were talking about patients' hallucinations when he told me about this time he was walking past a patient's room, an elderly woman with dementia, and she was chatting up a storm with someone. And he asked her who she was talking to, and the woman replied, that nice man in the black and white striped suit.
Huh.
A while later, he went into another room, patients with dementia's room, and that different patient asked where the man with the striped shirt had gone. Ooh.
Well. All right, all right. Mr. Many Manifestations.
It's like he's just the social butterfly of the unit.
No doubt.
Wow, so he's just making the rounds like a candy striper or something, right?
Yeah, candy striper, right.
That's strange. Well, I mean, it's nice. Excuse me. Wow, I about inhaled my whatever the hell that was. I inhaled it, but it's like there's a presence there that's keeping people company on the other side. They're not quite on the other side yet, but wow, that's powerful.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. All right. So we're continuing on here. This one is pretty short as well. It says, the best I've ever heard is from a nurse who said that one night she was floated to oncology at the hospital she used to work for, and she was given a patient who was passing away and has been unconscious for several days. At one point during the night, the nurse went into the room and the patient was at the top of the bed and looked at her and said, don't let them take me. The nurse was freaked out and asked who was going to take her. And she said, that black thing up there, and pointed up in the air. The patient died within minutes.
Wow.
Oh, is that creepy as hell or what?
Wow.
Oh, man. That's not good. That's not good at all. Oh, what the hell do you make of that, Don?
Exorcist?
Yeah, exactly.
I think you got the wrong kind of guy right there. Yeah,
yeah. I don't think that's what I want transitioning me over.
No doubt.
I don't want any black blobs or octopuses or stuff. Just make it a lovely angel or something would be great. That's really scary. And you got to wonder, I mean, imagine if they're that close, they're probably seeing things pretty clearly.
Right.
Oh,
right.
Man, that's just really sad. I feel really terrible for that person. I hope they're okay.
Yeah, no doubt.
All right. Continuing on. That was, here's another short one. One night I was caring for a dying male patient and he was scared and I spent quite some time with him trying to calm him and reassure him. And eventually he calmed and I left to the bedside and went over to the nurse's station, which is about 15 feet away. As I sat down, I glanced over to him and there was a black shape standing over the bed looking down at the patient. Wow. I was terrified and I'm sure it was something evil. Oh, God. Yeah, there you go again, Don. We're on a roll here. Yeah. I think I want to die at home.
Keep me away from those open, painful portals and stuff, man. Yeah. You know, that's the best. You know, if you want to die, that's where you go.
Yeah. Wow. Now, you know, I'm not convinced that just because something appears dark that it means that it's actually negative or evil, but it's certainly not a good sign right off the bat, given, you know, our predisposition for white is good, black is bad in terms of, you know, spirits and stuff. Every time we hear shadow people, we think bad. We see, you know, white apparition, we think, oh, it's just, you know, somebody's stuck maybe or lost, but we don't automatically assume it's evil. But that whole dark shadowy thing, and I think it goes back to the old cowboy movies, you know, the good guys wore the white hats, the bad guys wore the black hats, and that was just how we identified that with the visual. And I think that predisposition is kind of stuck with us. But yeah, I've heard many stories where from psychics that say that spirits will sometimes choose to appear shadowy just so as not to alarm somebody as much or to be, you know, less conspicuous. But I don't know. I can imagine
less conspicuous, but I mean, not to frighten somebody. I'm sorry if I see a ghostly apparition of, you know, a shadowy being, you know, it's going to raise the hair on my arms, you know, it's going to make me wonder what the heck's going on. And, I think it's faulty thinking on the spirits, on the spirits part, you know, sure. I don't know.
Well, I mean, they can choose to not be seen at all. So I don't know. But maybe that person at that moment was absolutely tuned in, having spent so much time around this person who was feeling, you know, that there was transitioning going on and the person was absolutely terrified. Well, maybe there was a form of empathy there that brought that person into, you know, some kind of clarity to be able to perceive the spirit, you know. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. Just some thoughts, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know. It's all guesswork here in the paranormal. None of us know anything for sure, but it's certainly interesting. Okay, here's a little longer one, thank God, because those short ones are just, hey, I saw this. Good night. So let's see what this longer one says. It says, I used to work in a state institute for the developmentally disabled. We were temp relocated to another building for remodeling of our building. And anyway, I was working one night, second shift. We had a locked PICA unit. I don't know what that means, P-I-C-A.
P-I-C-A, yeah. It's a disease where people just kind of eat random things.
Oh, okay. I gotcha. All right. And I saw one of the residents walking down the hall. Very distinct gait and very distinct yellow T-shirt with a happy face on it. I went to the ward to let the staff know that they had an escapee, and this was a serious situation because this particular resident, Larry, would ingest absolutely anything from clothing to pens to belts to a bird's head, it says. Jeez. Ugh. Literally anything. He was also very reluctant to go back to his home ward, hence why I didn't bring him back myself. He needed two escorts, and when we got back into the hall less than 15 seconds later, Larry was gone. We searched the entire building, outside, downstairs, all the wards. He was absolutely nowhere to be found. This whole search lasted less than 10 minutes because I had all the extra staff looking for him, and I was just about to call the house supervisor to let her know that we lost someone when out of the bathroom walks Larry with one of the staff, and he had been getting his bath in the bathroom for the last 30 minutes or so. Really kind of freaky, absolutely. Without a doubt, I saw Larry in the hallway. Huh. I never would have short-staffed the wards like I did if I hadn't seen him. And like I said, very distinct gait, look, clothing. I took a lot of razzing that night. They all thought that I was crazy. And anyway, come to find out the next day after the story goes around that I'm crazy, Larry had an identical twin brother who died in that building 10 years previously.
Oh.
Whoa. So his brother's still hanging out waiting for him, I guess.
Oh, well, was it a twin brother?
Did you say twin brother? Identical twin. Yeah.
Identical. Wow. Yeah. That would, that could keep somebody around. I mean, the yeah. connection, you know, right. if it's not, you know, I guess fully severed, you know, at the time of death or whatnot.
Right.
Yeah. That's interesting.
Well, they say that twins have that special kind of bond, and I don't know. I can only assume. I've never had a twin that, but you hear those stories where they know when each other is doing whatever, to a degree anyway. I don't know that that's always the case, but there seems to be a pretty special bond between identical twins, usually. All right, the next one says, We had a black girl about 10 in ICU that was severely injured in a car accident. Lots of brain damage. She didn't die there, but was moved to another facility after weeks and weeks. After that, I know of three other black males in their 50s that, if they were even mildly sedated, would ask about the little black girl with the ribbon in her hair who was sitting at the door of their beds, or at the foot of their beds, rather. One guy said she asked how I was doing, and then got up and walked that way while he was pointing towards the second floor window. He paused, a wide-eyed look came over his face, and then he said, but I guess she really couldn't have left the room that way, huh? Hmm. Personally, I think she was taking care of grandfatherly figures.
Huh.
Well, that's kind of sweet.
Wow. Yeah.
That's pretty crazy. And I guess that's pretty wonderful, I suppose. I like that one. It's always nice that, you know, there's these... Not all of them are freaky. Not all of them are creepy. Some of them are just sweet.
Right,
and,
right.
You know, work in a benevolent way to, you know, help people feel calm.
Well, see, now with those two stories that you were just, you know, that you just read about children, the girl or that ducked around the nurse's station, and then this one that's going from, you know, patient's room to patient's room, you know, mm-hmm. do you think that those are legit? Do you think they could be legit child spirits, or do you think that it's still something not necessarily nefarious or malignant, but you know, a benign spirit that wants to appear in a more friendly way. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, and I think that would be what makes most sense to me, is right. that it's a benevolent spirit just trying to appear in a calming fashion. I don't know. I really think a spirit can appear however they choose.
Right.
You know, they aren't bound to the physical limitations that we are, being in these shells, that they can manifest whatever they feel like. And that's why I think some people see these spirits with half a face and stuff, is because in those moments, I think the spirits are trying to communicate. And by communicating, they're saying, this is what happened to me. With just a glance, you know, something happened, that person was burned, or you know, I lost half of their head somehow, or something. Right. So I think that the reason they appear in such ways like that, I think, is just to very quickly relay the information of who they are in a visual right. representation. Not to scare the hell out of people. It's just quickly like, hey, this is how I died. And you can clearly look at them and go, well, that person died in a fire. They're all charred and, you know, obviously they burned. Right. But I think that also they can appear as these gentle, you know, creatures that, you know, who's going to be really intimidated by a cute little girl with her hair in pigtails and asking questions? Well, nobody. Everybody's going to be pretty at ease about the whole idea, I think. So right. I just think it's just the least threatening kind of manifestation.
Yeah, yeah. That would be one way to do it, yeah.
Yeah. So those are my thoughts. I don't know if it's good or bad or the otherwise, but okay. So this one is really quick. It's a short one again. It says, I worked in an ICU where a prisoner convicted of murder died in ICU 1, and nobody would put a patient in that room after because the air was too heavy and the room was too spooky and dark. It was so bad that the hospital eventually closed down the room and knocked out a wall to make it a separate entrance into the unit because nurses would refuse to put patients in that room, even if it was the last available bed. They'd triage out a patient before they'd trust putting a patient in that bed. Wow, that's pretty intense, right?
I'm sorry, I missed that one. I was looking at San Ignacio Hospital.
Oh, well, they had an ICU room. Glad you could join us, Don.
Hey, yeah, no problem.
They had an ICU room that they had a convicted killer die in there. And after he died, it was such a dark and just a terrible vibe in that room that they would refuse to put patients in there. And even if it was full, they would triage someone else out of a room to put them into that rather than put someone in that room. They just didn't do it. So they ended up knocking out the walls and making it another entrance.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So,
yeah. Yeah, you know, because we talk about, you know, intelligent energy that, you know, in stone tape theory, you know, that kind of thing. And who knows what, you know, what parts or what energy was, what was disseminated into that room and seeped into the walls or whatnot. So, yeah, crazy.
I think so. I think that's pretty intense. But, yeah, that's the story and they're sticking with it. So, ladies and gentlemen, this is a good time for us to take a break. So we're going to do just that. We will be right back after these messages. It's time to pay the bills. So we'll be right back. Don't go away for more of these haunted hospitals on the Paranormal Portal Podcast. Hey guys, Brent Thomas here of the Paranormal Portal Podcast. We just wanted to take a moment to introduce you to the Paranormal Portal store. We've got t-shirts, hoodies, leggings, stickers, mugs, you name it, you might find it over there. So head on over to teespring.com/stores/paranormal-portal and you too can help fund the Paranormal Portal Podcast. Thank you so much for all that you do and thank you for being a part of our Paranormal Portal family. We'll be right back. and gentlemen, we are back, and we're back at it. We've got a bunch more to bring you in terms of these haunted hospitals and lots of the spooky crap that's going on out there with people experiencing ghostly apparitions and manifestations in these hospitals. And like we were saying at the lead into the show, these places are kind of the perfect storm for paranormal activity. Wouldn't you agree?
Yes, sir. Yeah. And the stories that, you've already brought up, you know, I'm still reeling about the two little girl spirits. Those are kind of cool. I really like those ones. But, you know, like you said, you know, that we've talked about, you know, portals opening up when spirits pass and things like that. So,
yeah,
all kinds of things that can go on there.
Pretty incredible stuff. But, you know, it kind of gives you a new appreciation for hospitals.
Doesn't make me exactly want to go visit a hospital if I break my finger.
Yeah, I know. I've thought about the same thing, but I think if you break your finger, you're probably going to be an outpatient, which is okay. The, you know, being an inpatient is probably more nerve wracking, but I, you know, unfortunately I had a bunch of surgeries when I was younger and I spent quite a bit of time in hospitals and I gotta say, I never experienced anything, out of the ordinary in all of that time. But, I guess I was in a small town too, and maybe there just isn't as much energy in those locations. I don't know. Maybe there's not as much tragedy or something. I don't know.
Right.
I don't know how big these hospitals are that we're talking about. They don't let us, they're not giving us the hospital they're working in, obviously, which I imagine they can't. But I assume that many of them are pretty big city hospitals or big establishments that I've seen a whole lot. And especially if they're in a urban area, they can probably get quite a bit of activity and tragedy, which I think would certainly lend to more activity happening. But
definitely,
I got more stories here.
Sweet. Load them up.
Load them up. You're all ready? Want to hear it? Here, go.
Do this.
I was working in an NICU when we had a threat of a tornado, and some nurses got pulled to a sister hospital in town to assist with the disaster plan. And when all was over, one of the nurses returned with this story. She was assisting the nurses in giving some meds before pulling all into the hallways, and every patient she went to said they already had their meds from the nice nurse in the white uniform and hat. And she realized after she left that it's been a while since nurses have worn a hat. And that story revealed the urban legend of Nurse Betty. Story goes she had an affair with a married MD, became pregnant, and agreed to allow him to perform an abortion on her in the second floor operating room. Well, she died and he went to jail. She never left the hospital and has been seen frequently. The local newspaper would do an article every year around Halloween on her sightings, and the hospital has since been replaced with college dorms. I wonder if any students are seeing her. Yeah. That's great. You're studying for finals and you get this nurse pulling up with med cart. Yeah, that's kind of, that's a little different.
I didn't ask for a phlebotomist.
Yeah. Hey, what are you doing that way with that weird bag and a hose? Get out of here. Yeah. Well, there you go, ladies and gentlemen. That's pretty strange. But we got more of them. We got a full course of these things ready to roll. Here's the next one, the story of Rocking Mary. We closed room 12 in our MICU because just about every patient there has been there. Let me start that over. The story of Rocking Mary. We closed room 12 in our MICU because just about every patient that has been there since Mary died complains of seeing a woman in wearing a white habit rocking back and forth by their bedside. Apparently, this nun never makes eye contact. She just stares outside the window, which happens to be on the patient's left side over their head. The window overlooks the hospital cemetery where nuns that have died are buried. And Mary was a nun that died in a car accident outside of the hospital back in the 50s. She was only about 30 years old, and all patients describe her as a young woman. We all thought that it was the sundown syndrome. Anyways, since then, room 12 became our storage room where no one goes in by themselves unless it's absolutely critical. Huh. But it doesn't sound like she's really a threatening menace kind of thing. She right. just appears and rocks in a chair. I don't know. Maybe that's really creepy. I don't know. I'm just, of all the stories I've heard, I guess if a nun was rocking in a chair, that one wouldn't be the most scary for me.
Right. I would have to agree. It'd be like, you know, if you woke up and she was there, you kind of, you know, ask the question, you know, well, who are you and why are you in my room rocking back and forth in that chair? And when you don't get an answer, but she doesn't do anything else, you know, then you could certainly, you know, freak out. But right. yeah, I don't see anything too terribly weird about that.
Well, I mean, it's all kinds of weird, but it doesn't seem at least threatening. You know, it's not like she's going, you know, you know, maybe for people that have been to Catholic school, it's more intense. I always heard horror stories from people who went to Catholic school. Oh, the nuns were so hard on us, you know, so I don't know if that's true or not, but just the stories I've heard. Are you ready for another one?
Yeah. What you got?
Well, I got this really longer one here. It's not really, really long, but let's see what it has to say. It says, we had a patient, chronic CHF-er. What's CHF-er, Don, do you suppose?
CHF. Let's see.
Chronic heart
congestive
failure. Congestive heart failure. Always on the call button. Hated being on fluid restrictions. You know the type. The nurses have to take turns during the shift answering the call button so the primary can actually do other work. Well, this is a frequent flyer because he was very chronic, very borderline, and the hospital was the only place he wouldn't fluid overload. I work 7 p to 7 a.m., and he died at about 8 p.m. Oh, the look on his face, like, how could you let me die? Like it was our fault. Anyway, family came and gone by 9 p.m., funeral home gone by 9:30, and at about 10 p.m., the call button starts going off. I was there. Call button going off every 5 minutes. One of the nurses was a very spiritual girl. About 2 a.m., after like 4 hours of this, Nurse Mary snaps, enough! She walks down to the room and practically screams into the entry room, Mr. X, you've died and you can't be in here bothering us anymore. Move along in the name of Jesus. I'm exorcising you from this plane of existence. Go to the light and be happy. And I kid you not, the call button stopped going off then and there.
Wow.
So she just got it done. She just was done.
Yeah. She's okay. That's enough of you, Mr. Mischief over there. Yeah. Go on. Jeez. Yeah. I think I'd obey too, though.
Yeah. I probably would have left myself. Okay.
Get out of here. You're no fun.
Yeah, exactly. All right, this one's another one. Not a spooky story, but a lonely ghost. One of the rooms, if it was being used regularly, fine. No problems. But since it was a room at the end of the hall, it was used for storage lots of times. And if a couple of weeks went by and there were no patients or activity in the room, the call light would start going off about 4 to 5 times a shift. But if you went into the room and turned on the TV, the call light wouldn't go off anymore. So nice. Needless to say, when the room was being used for storage, the TV was always on with the volume down low. Now, see, that's kind of cool because it's like they're acknowledging that there's right. a presence there. And they found a workaround. They found a way to keep it peaceful. Now, that's a cool story. I like that one.
Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah.
I mean, it's like an official acknowledgement by the people working there that, yeah, there's a ghost here and this is how we take care of it. This is how we deal with it. You know what I mean? It's like that acknowledgement, I think, is pretty powerful.
I think they need the nurse from the last story, though. Just walk in there and say, it's time for you to go.
I know that woman could probably make a living going to hospitals doing this. In the name of Jesus, get out.
Cheap and easy exorcisms.
Yeah, exactly. Although nurses, I don't know if they're cheap. You know, they're probably,
you never know.
Probably command a pretty steep price. I don't know. All right, so let's go to the next one. There's another nun story, Don.
Sweet.
In case you didn't get enough nun before.
Let's not get into that habit, though.
I like what you did there, but I'm bumped. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Don will be here all night.
I don't know about that.
So far, he's here. All right, so like most very old hospitals, at one time, our hospital was run by nuns. One particular unit had been converted into a sleep study lab area for outpatient tests. One shift in the middle of the night, I was watching the video monitor and five patients Okay. One shift in the middle of the night, I was watching the video monitor and five patients simultaneously began removing their monitoring equipment. And I went into the first room to ask what was going on. And the patient said that the old nurse with the cap told her the study was over and that she could leave.
Huh.
All the patients reported the same story. Wow. So she didn't want none of that sleep study going on. Thank you. I didn't get none reaction on that, Don.
I was just thinking, you know, how weird it is that five patients all of a sudden just start removing, you know, the equipment. Why would they do it? You would think that a nurse or someone would come in and remove it, you know, or say, you know, yeah, it's done. Somebody will be right with you instead of, you know, people just starting to rip the stuff off, you know, that'd be kind of scary.
All five of them got the message from this nun. The sleep study was over and it's time to go. Oh, that's crazy. That's pretty powerful. Pretty powerful story. If I do say so myself.
All right.
Let's go to the next one. And it says, I work in a coronary care unit and mostly post heart attack patients. And my charge nurse told us a story. Not sure if she's just messing with us, but she sounded serious. So our unit was empty. We consolidated our last couple of patients into the ICU because we had low patient census, and my charge nurse was over in the CCU at the nurse's station doing something on the computer. All of our rooms were empty, and she heard a bedside monitor alarm, so she went into the room where the noise was coming from, and there was an EKG strip coming out of the bedside printer, which we never use, ever. And it was long continuing strip of clear VTAC. She said she had just coded someone there last week who had been in VT. Creepy as hell. Wow. So it was spitting out the tape of the heart rate. I guess it was all flatline, but still.
Huh.
That's pretty bizarre.
Yeah. Now the equipment's possessed.
Apparently. Apparently. All right, so let's see how we're doing here. We got this one. This one looks good. I do inter-facility transfers as an EMT, so I get to see all the skilled facilities and hospitals in the state. Two places give me the hair-raising, just bad negative juju creeps. An abandoned school of the feeble-minded and the state's prison mental health facility that used to be huge tuberculosis ward when there were massive outbreaks back in the day. Mm. A third place is an old birthing hospital that got turned into a long-term care facility. The top floor is mostly padlocked off. Jokingly, I asked the nurse on the elevator if the building was haunted, and she matter-of-factly said, yes. Little kids' shapes on the top floor and residents report older women in dresses. She said that there were areas of the building she refused to go without another person.
Hmm.
Wowza. That's a lot creepy, huh?
Yeah, for real.
Very strange. Okay, so let's see what this one is. This is a very short one. It says, in the morgue at my hospital, I'd always hear knocking coming from inside the freezer. Oh, God.
Me too.
Yeah. Your freezers, I got all kinds of different issues, though, Don. It really creeped me out, especially when the pathologist locked up, grabbed me by the shoulders, stared me straight in the eye and said, you hear that? You never open that door when they're knocking. Never. It turned out to be some loose pipes. He thought it was hilarious. But I didn't sleep that night.
Never open it when they're knocking.
Oh, what a dick. Oh my God.
That's awesome. Wow.
That's horrible. What a horrible thing to do somebody. I mean, because no matter what, even if you know it's knocking pipes at the end of that, you're always going to remember that. That's going to be, that fear response is in you somewhere. What a jerk. Oh man, that's harsh.
Oh, that's
some
funny.
People. Oh, man. All right. Okay, so I work in a long-term care facility, and within lies the legend of the little girl. Many people have seen her, and few have survived to talk about it. Quite a few residents have asked me who's the little girl, and pointed to her. Coincidentally, these people would be dead within 72 hours of seeing her.
Oh.
Turns out about 10 years ago, there was a fatal car accident in front of our long-term care facility, and the victim, a little girl about 10 years old.
Wow.
So now that's curious, Don. And the reason I say that's curious is, does she see the light coming to get them? Like, does she see that transition about to happen? Like she's earthbound, but she's unable to go through herself.
Oh, maybe she's trying to chase it and find when, you know, find her opening, you know, to.
Exactly. That's what I'm thinking. It's like, is the reason that she's there because she sees that it's going to happen. And maybe she thinks that maybe it'll be her turn to go.
Yeah. Interesting.
Oh, that's weird. That's a weird one. I mean, it's just what jumped into my head. Like, oh, I get it. But maybe I'm wrong. It makes sense, though.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. I got another one here. You ready?
Yep.
A couple, retired military captain and his wife, Margaret, sold their house to move to Florida. It so happens that they sold their house to the state. The state was going to use it as a resident home for mentally disabled teens after the closing, but before they moved, Margaret died in the house.
Oh.
The captain had to move because the house was already sold, and do you know where I'm going with this? Residents always refer to the old lady that they always saw. Nursing staff just referred to her as Maggie. Now, late at night, when the residents were asleep, if the staff put the TV on more adult programming like Red Shoe Diaries, etc., the TV would turn off.
Ooh.
And when turned back on, would come onto a different channel. There was this one nurse, it was like the house was out to get her. She'd swear that the carpet tripped me and the cupboards open, knives would fall out aimed at her. Turns out this nurse was eventually fired for abusing and stealing from the residents.
Wow.
Maggie takes care of her children. Wow. That's kind of a cool presence to have, right?
Yeah.
Oof.
Yeah.
You know, she's watching out. Good for her. I mean, if you got to be earthbound, that's a way to be. You know, you're at least protecting someone.
Right.
That's awesome. I like that story. Okay, here's another one. I work as a CNA in a long-term care. We had one resident, Betty, was always independent. All ADLs were done on her own, and she did fine on her own. Never had an accident. The only time she wanted help was with the showers, and then she only wanted you around to make sure she didn't slip and fall. Betty came down with pneumonia and had to be hospitalized, but when she came back, she was too weak to do things on her own, but too stubborn to ask for help. And the last thing the CNA told her before going to bed was, "If you want to get up, hit your call light. I'll come and help you." Of course, she didn't, and got rid of her bed alarm, climbed out of bed, and fell. Betty died from the fall, and no one was moved into bed C, Betty's bed, afterward. The following week, the call light for the room went off at night. Thinking it was the resident in bed B, I walked down to the room to see what she wanted, and I walked into the room only to see the call light for bed B and A were off. The call light was for bed C, Betty's unoccupied bed. And that was on. My eyes filled up with tears. I backed out of the room and made someone else turn the call light off. Aw. That's sad.
Yep. That is sad.
Well, there you have it. Wow.
Okay. Well, that's probably actually going to be me being hard-headed and just doing what I want. I got it.
I imagine I will too, to be honest with you. I don't know. I'm not much for asking for help, you know?
Right.
All right. So here's another one. We have a gentleman that we call the inspector. He appears at the end of the long hall. Our wings are L-shaped, and he carries a clipboard in his hand. And when he shows up, residents usually die within the next couple of days. We've also had residents ring and tell us that there was a man standing next to their roommate's bed and that we should tell him to leave. No men on nights. The roommate usually dies soon after. And then there's the children. Several lucid residents have reported children in the halls at night. And there's a children's home behind us where the children have been abused in the past.
Oh.
Oh. Wow. That's weird.
Yeah.
The clipboard, the holding a clipboard to me is the weird part. It's like, what's on there? Does he have a list and he's like the collector or what? I don't get it.
You know? Yeah. The inspector, they called him, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Wow. Yeah, that's crazy.
Right. I think so too. Okay. Here's another one. I was working night shift job as an aide caring for a lady with terminal cancer on hospice at home, as I have for years. She was starting to slip up, and I woke her family. Two girls and a DH, and we were all sitting around, and she was pretty quiet and peaceful. All of a sudden, she looked down towards the door and said, Rex, you're here for me. I'm ready, and they won't let me go. I saw a shadowy figure come into the room and felt the creepiest evil spirit. I'm not normally spooked, but I was so glad when it was time for me to go home. I turned to watch the spirit, and the family was looking at me like, what are you looking at? The lady died later that day. A few months later, her daughter had been sick, just not well, not terminal, and they called my agency to see if I would come over and stay with him at night for a few days until he was a little stronger. I stayed two nights, and all kinds of weird paranormal stuff happened in that house. Voices in rooms that were empty, sound of people moving around when everyone was asleep, and I decided I didn't care how sick he was or how much that family liked me. I was not doing another shift there.
Huh.
Wow. That's pretty intense, huh?
Yeah, but, you know, yeah. I wish there would have been more information on what kind of paranormal events, but...
Right. Well, there is that, but I think these are pretty much nurse submissions. So, I mean, they're probably, you know, just saying, hey, there was stuff happening and that was good enough.
That's it. Okay, but never mind.
This isn't necessarily their wheelhouse. They just got to experience things that they didn't quite know what to do with. I think we got time for one more, and this will be the last one for the night. But it says a couple of stories from the unit. In bed number 3, there was a homeless patient, Willie, who, thanks to modern medicine, was kept alive for, I believe, around 3 months. No family that would be able to stop the care. And Willie eventually died, but patients who were in bed 3 will talk about their friend Willie, who has brought them a blanket or stopped by to talk. Bed 3 is at the end of the unit and has an ante room before you go in, and you can't see directly in bed 3 unless you're in the ante room or looking at the room on the monitor. One night with no patient in bed 3, the monitor flips to the room and a body was seen laying over the side of the bed over the side rails, kind of floating. The room was checked and nobody was in there. Another night, a nurse who has worked in the unit a few years saw someone sitting in a chair behind the door in bed 3 with their legs crossed, and she wondered, since we have limited visiting hours, how a family member got in the room. She went in the room and no one was there. Mm. Needless to say, she was plenty freaked out. There was also another patient who was a young woman in her 20s who contracted necrotizing fasciitis, flesh-eating disease, from one of her kids who had strep, and she was in the unit a while and eventually died. One of the nurses coming on to the next shift wanted to know why the patient was standing in the backside of the unit with her twin daughters holding their hands, wondering how she made such a miraculous recovery. She was informed the patient had died earlier that day.
Oh.
Wow. How tragic is that? I mean, you're taking care of your kid who has strep and you get the flesh-eating disease.
Right.
Oh, how horrible.
You know, and she got it at the hospital, right?
Well, it says she got it. She contracted it from a child that had strep, her child.
All right.
So I don't believe she got it from the hospital, but that's where she ended up staying as she was battling that.
Yeah, it's just weird how that transmits. It's weird.
I know.
Yeah. God.
Oh, horrible stuff. But anyway, I guess that's going to wrap it up for me tonight. Don, you got anything left?
No, I'm pretty much done. I do appreciate all of our listeners of the podcast, though, as always, and I want to express that very heartily. So, oi.
Oi. Thank you all for being here. And thank you so much for all the support and love you've given us in this journey. We're really loving doing the podcast and all of the support you guys have emailed and left messages to us on our Facebook. And please check out our Facebook. Follow us there at facebook.com/paranormalportalradio. If there's ever any announcements of the show, that's where you'll find them. And we post regularly there. And also check out our YouTube at youtube.com/paranormalportal. We'd love that. And follow us on Twitter at Paranormal Portal, which is P-O-R-T-L. So we'd love to see you in all those places. And if you like the podcast and you like what you're hearing, head over to iTunes and give us a great review, if you would, please. It definitely helps for iTunes to promote the podcast, and that's really important to getting more exposure for the show. So if you love what you're hearing, definitely leave us a great review. If you don't like it, never mind.
Just don't worry about it.
Never mind. Carry on. Yeah, carry on. Carry on. So anyway, guys, thank you so much for being here. We love you all. Be good, be kind, be nice. Take care of each other. Help each other out. Find the magic in every day and remember to laugh as much as you can. And we'll be back for another podcast before you know it. So look for us then. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Betting is sweeping across the country faster than the coronavirus, and wagering week is your antidote. I'm Tom Martin, and I'm a veteran sports analyst and respected sports handicapper who helped build ESPN's brand. I've been recognized and awarded by Pro Football Weekly and Gaming Today magazine as the honest handicapper. Let the other guys give you the same old boring sports talk with the same tired storylines. We'll give it to you straight here every Friday on Wagering Week. Don't gamble with other podcasts, let Sports Garden Network's Wagering Week help your bottom line.